I want to welcome our online folks this morning. Everybody that's joining us on the internet, welcome. We're glad that you're here virtually. Virtually, you're not in the building, but you're with us online. And the truth is that it doesn't matter where you are, God's there. God is present with you. And so we're believing that he's going to help you, speak to you, encourage you today online. Let's give all of our online folks a hand right now. We're glad you're here. I am resolved. We're in a sermon series called Resolve, and if you've got a Bible, turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse. We're going to start there today. We're going to conclude this sermon series next Sunday, January 31st, with a big baptism service. So if you've yet to be baptized into the family of God, where you personally made that choice and that decision to follow after Jesus as a teen or as an adult, and you have yet to be baptized, we'd love to baptize you next Sunday. And it's going to be an incredible day. At Promised Land, we baptize tons of people every year, and it's going to be really a big kickoff this January 31st. That's a week from today. And if you have questions, we'll help you answer that. But we'll have clothes for you. We'll have photographers, videographers. It'll be a great day. All right, you don't have to sign up for it. Just show up next week and get baptized. So resolve is a very strong word. It's a very thick, heavy, muscly word. Resolved. We don't use that word a whole lot because, frankly, there's not a whole lot Americans are resolved about. You know, we're not resolved about a whole lot. We're kind of flaky in most areas of our life. But at Promised Land San Marcos in 2016, we're going to be resolved about a few things. And so we've been talking about that each week. Resolve means firm in purpose or intent, determined to come to a definite decision. Resolved, such a strong word. I am resolved this week. I am resolved to live my life to be transformed by God. Somebody say transformed. Transform. Not conformed to this world. I'm resolved for my life to be transformed by God, not conformed to this world. Transform, conform. Two distinctly different words. The prefix makes a big difference on these words, the little first part, trans and con. Very much different. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter in the first verse. I want to read this scripture to you. And it's really going to start painting the picture of the difference between conform and transform. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I beseech you means I plead with you. Listen closely to what I'm saying. I plead with you, therefore. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Here we go. Here's verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Somebody say transform again. Transform by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So let's talk about these two words, conform and transform. The definition of conform is to be or become similar in form or nature, to comply or adapt. So I got this little illustration here for you of this Play-Doh. And as I got this Play-Doh, y'all see it in my hands here, I'm conforming it. It's still Play-Doh. It's still at the very essence and elemental level. It's still Play-Doh. But I'm able to shape it and form it according however I want to. So if I have this world here, this example of, you know, stuff in the world that we might conform to. This is our life, and we oftentimes will conform ourselves, will shape ourselves around the world that we live in. So to conform, the definition officially, to become to be or become similar in form or nature, to comply or adapt. Wish I had enough Play-Doh to really do this justice, but after a while, once I get it shaped, and I really want to try and give it some effort here, I can take it off, and it will retain somewhat of the shape of what it was conformed to. That's conforming. And at the essence of this orange stuff is still Play-Doh. It's not this, right? But it is shaped after this. It is conformed to this shape. But it's still Play-Doh. The scripture says that we just read, do not be conformed to the world. Don't be shaped after the world. Still you, just shaped after something else. Instead, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform is a completely different word and definition. When you go to the original Greek text that this was written in, the word conform is a long word that I can't even pronounce, and I won't even try to act smart in front of you and pronounce it, but it simply means conform. It's not a real exciting translation. But the word transformed that is used here is metamorphao, which means to change at the very essence. It's the word that we get metamorphosis from, to be transformed. So transformation is a much different definition than conformation. To transform is to change in condition, nature, or character, to change into another substance. You start to see the difference between being shaped after something, but still being Play-Doh, and then the Play-Doh just becoming something different altogether. It's not even Play-Doh anymore, it's something else. That's what God is telling. When we look at this scripture, and I've taught this scripture so many times in this church recently, I've taught this scripture, and every time I teach this scripture, we focus on the big difference between the world and God. We don't want to be like the world. We want to be like God. We don't want to be like the world. We want to be like God. That's a big, big part of this text, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely a huge difference between the world and between God. But today, what I want to really, really bring out from the text, I want us to look deeper to these two words of being conformed and being transformed, because there's a really, really deep and rich truth to this text. To be conformed is an easy application. There's a whole lot of metaphors that are easy to display for you to be conformed, because it's a quick thing to do. I can conform pretty quickly to this, and it's not that big of a deal, because that's what conformity is. But to be transformed, to display transformation to you, is a much more difficult process. It's a much more longer process. And so it's difficult for me to be able to do that. So I have a video for you that is time-lapsed that will help show you true transformation. Let's check out this video. That is transformation. That is not conformity. That's not being conformed into a butterfly. That is complete metamorphosis. That is being changed all the way down to the elemental level of that caterpillar. And that is what this scripture is saying. Don't be conformed to this world, but you're going to have a metamorphosis. Be transformed into God's ways. So, this is the world. We understand being conformed to the world. But I have over here, this may look like Captain America. This is not Captain America. This is Promised Land Pete, okay? Strong man, good-looking dude, right? What happens a lot of times in church is that people will come into the church and see either the picture of Jesus or an actual, most of the time it's people in the church, holy people, people that have been around for a long time and say, man, that's, that guy's amazing. I mean, he comes to prayer on early morning on Wednesday. He's here every Sunday. He leads 7 different promise groups. He teaches in Sunday school. He sings on the platform. He gives financially. He goes on all the mission trips. I mean, this guy is really, really the guy that I want to be like. I want to be like him. So we take our life like this, and we start trying to conform our life to look like Promised Land Pete. Man, I'm gonna look just like Pete. And I'm gonna, that's, look at me. I've been coming here, Promised Land, for so long, and I'm really doing so good. Look at me. I mean, I'm just nailing it. That's what we think that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, well, my life doesn't look like his life. My life doesn't look like what the Bible says, so man, I'm going to try really hard this time. Man, I failed that last time, but this time I'm going to give it my best effort. Whoa! And it seems like every time we try to give it our best shot to really do what we're supposed to do and to, man, the Bible says that this is the way I am, but I don't really feel like it today. I really don't want to do it today, but I mean, in every single, I'm going to really anchor my feet this time. I'm really going to get some balance in, and it just keeps on falling. I could do this all day, keep on doing it and keep on doing it, and that's what so many people in church do is you keep on trying and keep on trying, and eventually you say, I just can't do this anymore. I don't want to live as a hypocrite, and I've tried it, church. I've tried the church. I've tried that stuff, and it just doesn't work. We're going to save that for later so it doesn't get all dried out. 11:30 got to experience that as well, so that's what so many of us do, is that we keep trying to shape ourselves, but that's not what the scripture is telling us to do. That scripture that I just read to you in Romans 12:1 says, don't conform yourself to the world, and don't even try to conform yourself to the church either, or to God. Instead, be transformed. Be transformed. How? How does that work? Well, I read that first verse, and we just kind of blazed through that to get to the second verse where it says, don't be conformed, be transformed. But let's go back to verse 1 for a second and look at what Paul says in order to be conformed. He says, I beseech you, I plead with you, brethren, to what? By the mercies of God, that you present your Play-Doh to God. Quit trying to manipulate it. Quit trying to shape it. Instead, submit your mess to God. Submit your life as a living sacrifice. You don't have to die. God's not asking you to kill yourself. You're going to be alive, but you're going to present this body of yours, your soul, your spirit to God. You're going to present it to him, and a sacrifice means you have no more control over it anymore. Present yourself without any more personal control over it to God. And when you do this, which is your reasonable service, it's what God is asking us to do. It's acceptable to God, not because it's a good-looking piece of Play-Doh. It's acceptable to God because it is sacrificed to him. It's given up to him. That's what makes it acceptable. What I'm saying here today is kind of controversial to some people that have been in church a while, the Promised Land Pete's of the church, because sometimes Promised Land Pete can come and start looking around. Whoa, did you see that? Oh my goodness. That's just, I can't, did you see what they did? Did you, you know, and Promised Land Pete's feeling really good about himself because he's been nailing it. He's been doing really, really well. And you need to be like me. You need to conform to what we're doing over here at Promised Land. This is the way you're supposed to live. And there's a time that, or there's sometimes when people at the church can not like the fact that it's taking new believers a while to be transformed, and they want to rush them into to what God is turning them into. And you need to shape up. You need to conform to what we're doing here. The whole point, the whole starting point of this, though, is that caterpillar crawling up onto that little stem and attaching itself to that stem. Did you see that video? It attached itself to that stem. But when it attached itself to that stem, it gave up any identifying factors of being a caterpillar. You know? From this point forward, I am a living sacrifice. I'm attaching myself to this little stem, and I'm giving. The caterpillar had been working it his whole life. Think about it. I mean, that dude can eat so many leaves. He's fast at it. He's just, you know, you get mad at him because he's eating all the plants in your garden. I mean, he's very successful at what he does. He can crawl around. He's handsome. He's, you know, he's probably a muscular caterpillar. He's looking good. And what to conform himself to being a butterfly would mean that he would be looking around. Hey, I see other people are becoming butterflies. I want to be a butterfly too, but I don't really want to give up who I am. I'm just going to find some leaves around here that look like a monarch leaf, and I'm going to just try to flap them real hard, and I'm going to try to really become a butterfly, but I'm not going to give up who I am. But that's not what this is all. This is not about conforming to be a butterfly. This is about being transformed into being a butterfly. And so as people, as human beings, if we want to be transformed by God, the first thing that we do is that we say, we give up. We give up control. We give up identifying factors that have made us who we are. And I know that there's a lot of identifying factors in San Marcos, in Hays County, wherever you grew up. There are certain things that you take a whole lot of pride in and feel like that's who you are. That's what's made you up as your little caterpillar self. In the eyes of God, you're squishy and he loves you and you are a caterpillar, but he has a totally different vision for who you are to become if you will give up allowing him to turn you into something else. So holding on to that family name. I was talking to the 8:15 service about so many folks hold on to that family name. Well, this family name is who I am. My family comes from wealth. My family, we're all college grads. We all have, you know, this is who we are. This is our name of what we've made for ourselves, and this is our identity. This is our race. This is our race for whatever reason, good or bad, ugly, pretty, whatever. This is who I am. This is my identifying factors. There's some families that your identifying factors is that you're the family that beat up all the other families on the street, and this is who we are. Don't mess with us. We were the ones that beat you in football. We're the ones that beat you on the streets, and we're the toughest, we're the baddest, don't mess with us kind of family. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about, because I've heard, I'm not going to call any names, but it's so beautiful to see people come to God and give that stuff up. I don't care about that anymore. I'm presenting my family name as a sacrifice. I'm presenting my gender. I'm presenting my race. I'm presenting my education. I'm presenting my health, my security, my finances, everything of who I am. I am presenting it to God as a living sacrifice. Lord, I am attaching myself to your branch, and I am saying, change me from the inside out. Whatever your word says, I am making myself available to your word. Metamorphosize me, transform me from the inside out, God. If there's anything in my life that's not of you, I surrender it to you. God, even things that are so securing to me and have made me feel comfortable or accepted or honored, Lord, if they are a part of the old nature that are not a part of the new nature, then, Lord, I am submitting it to you, and I am allowing you to transform everything and anything. Paul says, I plead with you, give up. Don't live the lie that you have to live like the world. Don't believe that the way you are living is the way that you have to be all of your life. If you will present yourself, your life, your body as a living sacrifice unto God, what you're saying is that I'm not going to be God any longer. As long as you're the one that's shaping the Play-Doh, you're the God. You're the one that's making the difference. And there are so many times that Promised Land Pete forgets that it's God who shaped him and transformed him. It's God as the author of the transformation. It is God is the one who makes the difference. So this is what's controversial to some people that I'm going to say right now. If you're beginning to come to church and you see things in the Bible that are not the way you are, like the way to live, and it's not your orientation, it's not the way you see life, it's not the lens in which you see yourself or see life, and there's a conflict between what you desire and what the Bible says is right, I want you to resist the temptation that you need to conform your life after what the Word of God says. That sounds very controversial to many Bible thumpers in the room today. Resist the temptation that you're going to conform your life to what the Bible says. God never intended for you to be the one who had the strength to change your own life. If you have the strength to change your own life, then you don't need God because you're God. You have that ability and power. But when we read the eternal truth of the Bible, and we see that it has things in it, the way we're supposed to live our life as a holy person, as a righteous person, and we look inside of ourselves and see that we have things in our life that are not like that, there are several responses to reading the Bible like that. Several wrong responses would be, well, I've got this wrong. Let me look up a different translation to see if it's a little softer. Maybe it's a little bit different than what I'm reading here in the King James or the New International or whatever it is. I'm looking for ways to try and soften it. Or I'll try to find a church, a different church than Promised Land that doesn't teach the Bible quite as literal, quite as old-fashioned. And I'm going to try to find a church that's a little more liberal in its definition of the word. And I want to find somewhere that fits so that the way I'm living fits with the way they interpret the Bible. Or another bad way to try and receive that word from the Bible is to conform ourselves to the Bible. Okay, well, this is what the Bible says. This is not the way I am. And so I'm going to try really, really hard. And I'm really going to shape myself after God. I'm really going to try everything I can to make myself look like everybody else here. And that's the illustration I was showing you of the guy that keeps falling and keep falling and keep falling. Instead, Paul teaches us a different way. Take yourself and give it as a sacrifice to God, completely surrendering. So this is what you say. I do not understand what the Bible is saying right here. I'm going to be completely honest. This is what you're praying to God. This Bible says this. I'm reading the Bible. I'm hearing a sermon. I'm singing a song. Somebody is telling me what the Word of God says. However the Word of God comes to you and there's some sort of discrepancy, there's some sort of misalignment, there's not reconciliation between your life and what the Word of God says. There's a difficulty. There's a burr under your saddle. I'm not like this. Maybe I want to be like this, but I don't have the ability to be like this. I want to be free from addiction. I want to be free from alcoholism, drug addiction, prescription drugs. I have people tell me all the time, I want to be free from smoking cigarettes. I'm tired of it. It stinks. It's a waste of money. It's bad for my health. I'm addicted to it. Freedom that the Bible talks about freedom, not being a slave to this world, not being addicted to this world, no matter what the addiction is, no matter what kind it is. I'm not picking on one or the other. There's so many different things that people are entrapped by, enslaved by. Sometimes it is financial. The Bible talks about being generous, and you would love to be generous, but you are not generous. Instead, you hold on tightly to what you have. You're afraid if you give any away that you may not have enough to feed your family. There's struggle when we read the Bible and we're not living the way the Bible says to live. There's a whole lot of tension in that. And people will fight with it and try it and fight with it and try it. Eventually, till they say, I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore, they quit church. I'm tired of trying and failing. I'm exhausted. It would be better just to live the other way than try to keep continually trying to shape my life after God. But that's not truly surrendering to it. Truly surrendering to it is actually saying, I'm not going to fix myself, but at the same time, I'm going to believe what the Bible says. I'm going to trust what the Bible says. If the Bible says this is the way we should live, if this is the way we should be married, if this is the way we should raise a family, if this is the way we should love one another, if this is the way I should handle my finances, you know, all these different things, if this is the way I should talk, and I'm not living that way, instead of trying to adapt the Bible to fit who I am or try to force my way to look like the Bible, I'm going to avoid both of those. And I'm just going to seek more of Jesus. I'm going to give up who I am, and I'm just going to seek more of Jesus, and I'm going to see what His Spirit will do in my life. When I die out and I am wrapped in this cocoon of safety, this cocoon of security, while I'm being transformed. Sometimes transformation takes months. Sometimes transformation may take years. We believe in a God who is supernatural, who has the power to do things instantly. And in your life, you're going to see some deliverance, I believe, instantaneous when you surrender your heart to God. There's going to be some areas. I know of people. We have people that we baptized before we baptized, and when they came out of the water, they didn't smoke a cigarette the rest of their life. God delivered them from that instantly. It was the way God's moving through them and their life. I've had other people, obviously, where it's a process. And sometimes instantly, it's a miracle. That is a gift of God's Spirit that He performs miracles in our lives. And we see transformation happen instantly. Deliverance from addiction. Deliverance from relationship issues or people issues or financial issues. Sometimes those checks come in the mail and you're financially delivered. There's other times when God is working a transformation in us that's going to take some time. Maybe the fact that you hold on to your past or some element of your personality or your character or whatever it is, or your persona, and you're not letting go, and that's going to be a process for you to let go and let God do something in. While that's happening, you need to be in a cocoon. You need to be in a safe place, and I think the best example of that is the church family. That you could come into a church family that's going to be a safe place for you to have transformation in your life. And if there are judgmental Petes, we deal with them with the love of the Lord like that. No, probably not that harsh. But we say, Pete, come on, bro. Remember you? Remember all those things that we went through? Yeah, I remember. Okay, well, they're going through them too, and we're going to walk with them through those scenarios. We're going to walk with them until they reflect that image of God. We're going to allow God to do a work in their heart. Now, the people in the family are here to help disciple one another, to encourage one another, to exhort, to teach, to sometimes correct in a loving, grace-filled, merciful way. Help people come to know the knowledge of God, for the renewing of the mind to take place and for transformation to really be kickstarted and to start working its way through the mind and the heart. The church body is here to help with that. I'm resolved in 2016 for my life to be transformed by God and not to be conformed to this world. That is going to be a statement that I pray this year. Lord, I'm resolved for my life to be transformed by you. Every time you say that word transformed, I want you to have that image of that butterfly, of any other example of metamorphosis that you can think of. I want to be transformed by you. I believe this year that I am being transformed by you. Sometimes I don't see the progress that I want to see. Sometimes I'm just sitting in that cocoon for a while, feeling like there's nothing going on. But God, I am trusting in your word. I am trusting in the fact that your spirit is going to do something in my heart, that there's going to be fruit of this transformation. I am resolved that I will not conform my life to the sinfulness of the world or even the tension and heaviness of the church either, the religiosity of the church. Let's look at more scripture, 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, this is almost like a rewrite of Romans 12:1. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. That's the sacrifice. That is the disconnect from the intoxication you've been living in of this culture. I'm not going to be intoxicated by this culture. I'm not going to live a lie of this culture anymore. Preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, I am setting our hope. Setting your hope. That's what this being resolved is all about. I'm resolved to be transformed by God. I am setting my hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you're not having the strength that you need, okay, so remember those of you that were here last week, it was all about, I'm resolved to live in the light. I'm resolved to live in the light. Living in the light is the grace of God. It's the power of God to be transformed. What the scripture is saying right here is that my hope is set fully on that light. I am resolved to live in the light, but why? Because it is the light that is transforming me. It is the grace of God that is transforming me. And so if I don't have that light, or I don't see that light, then it is the revelation of Jesus Christ that brings that light. So if you're struggling with changing, with transformation, the solution is more of you, Jesus. There's obviously something I'm not getting here. I don't feel like living the way the Bible says. I'm not inspired to live the way the Bible says, but I am trusting in you, Jesus, that there is more of you. There is more of your spirit, that it will be revealed to me, and I am resolved to be transformed by you. I am looking to you. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my transformer. You're the one that brings transformation to me. Surrendering our thoughts, surrendering our indoctrinated thinking to his eternal word. Our hope is anchored solidly in what God will accomplish in our life. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed. There's that word. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You're going to be holy because God is holy. When we think about holiness of God, that is an enormously high standard that we're all going to struggle with. I struggle with that all the time. The holiness of God is extremely high standard. This scripture can leave you feel condemned if you feel like you have to conform yourself after the holiness of God. The scripture is not telling you to conform yourself after just the patterns of this world, but also you're going to be delivered and have freedom when you realize that it's God's Holy Spirit transformation that's going to make you like him, to make him holy like him. Ephesians, the fourth chapter in the 17th verse. This is Ephesians 4:17 in New Living Translation. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as Gentiles do, for they're hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Let's just stop and look at that for a second. This is the darkness of the world, and many of you have walked out of this darkness and into the light of Jesus. You're starting to see, you're starting to have your eyes open to see how the old life was dark and how the life of Jesus can be so much more bright and fulfilling. And so there may be some people in here today that have walked in. This is the first time you've ever been into a church or first time you've ever heard this. Let this be good news for you today, that you don't have to continue living in the same rat race of American culture and American life. You can be freed from that darkness. You can be set free from that fullness, that darkness. Verse 20, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus, you have learned the truth that comes from him. Throw off your old sinful nature. Throw off your old sinful nature. That is presenting your body as a living sacrifice. I beseech you, Promised Land San Marcos, I plead with you, everybody that can hear my voice, listening to me on a podcast, watching me online today, I'm telling you, let go of the old sinful you. Let go of the old sinful nature, the formal way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Some of you just need to stick on that verse right there and meditate on that and pray on that all week long. All week long. Ephesians 4:23, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. That's the whole more of you, Jesus. That's the whole, I'm not going to shape myself. I'm not going to clean myself up. I'm not going to try to look like Pastor Robin or anybody else in the church. I'm not going to try to do this. Instead, I'm going to seek the Spirit. I'm going to seek more of Jesus. I'm going to long after him. I'm going to reach for him. Lord, let your Spirit work through me this week. Let it renew me this week. Let it renew my thoughts and my attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Then he starts talking to us in verse 25 about what that might look like. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. And then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own. guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. As I read verses 28 through 32, you start seeing how there might be some areas that you're not lining up just right with. And I want to read those today to everybody in here. This is just a small description of what a holy person might look like. And we're not going to ignore it and say, we're saved. It doesn't matter how we live. God's forgiven us, and it, you know, I'm full of grace. I can live however I want to. And we're not going to go to the opposite extreme and say, I beat ourselves up, and we haven't been good enough. We haven't tried hard enough, and this time I'm going to do better. And I can't believe, you know, all that judging others and even ourselves to an unhealthy level. Instead, we're going to read this text and say, I know, God, that when I read this text, you are displaying a picture of my future self. There's going to be a day when I give generous to everybody I see. Whenever somebody has a need, I'm going to give generously. When we have an opportunity to give at church, I'm going to give freely and cheerfully. There's going to be a day that's going to happen. There's going to be a day that I don't cuss out my wife. There's going to be a day that I don't get mad at other people and display my anger at work. I am not there yet. I need more Jesus. I need you more. Today I need you, Jesus. I need your spirit to renew my mind today, Jesus. I'm not here. There's bitterness in my heart for things that people have done to me. I'm mad at so-and-so for the way they treated me. Years ago, decades ago, maybe it was last week, whenever it was, I'm bitter. They should not have done it. They should not have done that. I'm bitter. I'm mad. I'm angry. I've got so much rage inside of me. I'm not living like the way this says I could live, but Lord, instead of ignoring it or fighting it, I'm going to say, Lord, I trust this word right here. I trust that this is the way you intended for me to live before sin came into my life, before I was born. I'm trusting what your word says. I'm going to stand on this word today. I'm still very caterpillarish, but I see that you have a new vision for my life, and I am surrendering my fight. I'm surrendering the way I dig in and claw in and try to make it my own way. And I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to be surrounded with other people that are going to be encouraging me and teaching me and correcting me and helping me. I'm going to live in the safety of a church family that's going to be lifting me up and praying for me. God, I am committed to just reaching up for you more. More Jesus, more spirit in my life. Renew me, refresh me, help me today. When you feel the angst of the pressure of the world, the temptation, the addiction, the things that have been who you are, your identifying factors of who you are, we're going to say, Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Flood my heart today. I stand on the truth of your word today. That is not who I am. I know a picture of who you're making me out to be as I see it in your word. I'm going to trust in you, Jesus. I'm going to believe that you are forming me and shaping me, and you're going to disintegrate in me some of the old hardness of my heart. You're going to make it melt away, and in its place, you're going to form a new heart. You're going to form a new me. You're going to form a new mindset. My mind is going to be renewed. The parts of my mind that have been locked in the past and held on and had so much bitterness and anger and angst against all the people that have done me wrong and all the things that I've done wrong. God, I'm praying that you're renewing my mind and that there's a complete metamorphosis of my mind, a complete transformation of my mind, so that when I see those things, when I smell those things, when I hear those things, the same temptations are not going to keep knocking at my door. You're going to help me, God, because I'm a new person. And until that day comes, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to put my eyes on any other place. I'm going to look to you faithfully in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to God in prayer right now. Would you just tell God right now, I present myself to you today, God. You might not ever use that language before, but Lord, I give myself to you today. I present Robin to you today. Put your name in there. I present Robin to you today. All of Robin, I give to you today. I put myself on that limb. You're the vine. I'm just a little branch out here, God. I'm going to be connected to you. But God, you're going to do amazing work. God, I trust you. Would you just tell God right now, I trust you, God. I trust you, God, to shape me, to form me, to transform me. I don't want to just be conformed. I don't want to just be mushed and pressed and, Lord, I want a complete new cellular identity. I want a whole new spiritual identity. I want a whole new soul identity from the inside out. Lord, please forgive me of my sin today. Let's repent before God right now. Let's just say, God, please forgive me of the sin in my heart. I look to you as my forgiver. I look to you as my forgiver, God. There's going to be people I face that don't forgive me. There's going to be situations in my life that are relentless, God, but I'm going to trust that you forgive me. I'm going to trust that you are the one that saves me, Jesus. I'm looking to you, Jesus, as my Savior. You save me, Jesus. Would you speak that out to him right now, whether you've said that a million times or this is the first time you've ever said it. Let's put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ alone right now, not in your abilities, not in your religious prowess or all the things you checked off your list this week. We're not trusting in anything else. We're trusting in Jesus Christ alone, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We're trusting in the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ today. We trust in you, Jesus. And we make ourselves available to you this day. We make ourselves available to you today, Jesus. We receive you today. Come, Holy Spirit. Oftentimes we raise our hands in church as a sign of surrender, because putting your hands up is the international sign of surrender. So I give up. Would you try that right now with me? If you're giving up to God, would you just extend your hands as a symbol, as a sign? I give up to you, Jesus. I surrender to you, Jesus. May there be nothing left in me that is me. I give up today, Jesus. Please reveal to me those areas that I'm holding on dearly to. Instead, I want to cling to your faith. I want to cling to your truth, God. I want to cling to your way, not to myself, but to you, your identity, your self-worth, God. In Jesus' name, breathe on us right now, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts and our minds with only what you can do. Renew us. Why don't you use that word right now? Just say, renew me, Holy Spirit. Renew me from the inside out, Holy Spirit. Baptize me with your strength, your power, your love, your transforming grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Clap your hands at him right now. Thank you, God, for an amazing, amazing day, for what God's doing in this church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you have not been baptized, come back next week. Invite your friends, your family to join you next week, and we would love to answer any questions you have about that. We'll be praying at the front this morning. If you'd like to come and join and pray with a prayer counselor or a pastor, we'd love to pray with you today. But God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful week. We love you.